Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Slash and Dash!
Slash and Dash! You guys voted for, if she's Barbie, then I'm Princess Jasmine. So it's the Ken and Barbie killers, and she doesn't look like Barbie.
Oh. She has got flesh-coloured underpants on.
Yeah, and no genitals.
And her head is so big that if she was real, she'd topple over.
Oh, I'm sick of hearing that.
No.
It's one of those, like... But there's that girl who looks like Barbie, and she's got the same proportions. So clearly that's wrong. Have you seen her?
Yeah, but isn't it because she's still got a human skull, though, hasn't she? Is it that skull would be heavy?
Maybe.
And Barbie's feet were always made so that they were ready to be put into high heels.
Yeah.
So, like, they couldn't... I hated that about Barbies, that they don't stand up on their own.
Yeah, just give her flat feet.
Give her flat feet and let her wear platforms.
Yeah.
It worked for the Spice Girls.
So, this is the Ken and Barbie Killers from Canada, Ontario. Ontario? Ontario.
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 We were taught this, we were schooled in this often on Twitter. Oh, no. What was I calling it? Ontario. It's on... Oh, shit.
I mean, it sounds like a herb.
Someone definitely, like, wrote it down phonetically for me, and I appreciated it, and I wasn't annoyed at all, but then it's immediately been forgotten. I think it's Ontario.
Okay, we'll go with that.
So, because I think the word tear and tear look the same, so I don't know, when you write the word tear for me to say it, am I saying tear or tear?
irrelevant.
Life is hard.
Life is hard. So we're looking at the Ken and Barbie Killers, who were Carla Homolka and Paul Bernardo. So I'm going to call them Homolka and Bernardo, so just remember Homolka's the girl. So Carla Homolka was a 17-year-old college student when she met Paul Bernardo, and he was a 23-year-old trainee accountant. And he was tall.
Investment piece.
Ding, ding, ding. So she was out with work colleagues because she worked part-time at a pet shop, and she'd been to like a pet convention or some shit like that. And they were out in a restaurant, and he came in, and it was sort of like eyes locked, and you know, the music stopped, and it was love at first sight, and they
just gravitated towards each other slowly.
Pretty much. So they chatted and then ended up in a hotel room shagging within about 3 hours, as all good love stories start.
Yeah.
So they were basically inseparable, and Homolka, she lived with her parents and she had two sisters, but she was seeing Bernardo all the time, and he had two siblings as well. Now, he'd had quite a difficult childhood. He found out quite young that his dad wasn't his biological father. He also didn't get in very well with his mother, who was a bit verbally abusive. So obviously he was a bit like, my mum's a bitch, my dad's not really my dad, and sort of felt a bit lost. But I mean, it's not great, but it's not, there's worse childhoods.
Yeah, it's not great. I was talking with someone at work about this because she had a daughter, and she was like, oh, we had a big argument, and she said that she hates me and da da da. And I was like, when I was little, my parents were lovely, and I still always used to say, one day my real parents will come and get me. Just because I thought it would be like in a romantic storybook, like the hero or heroine of a storybook was always adopted or fostered or something. And I'd be like, one day my real parents will come and they'll take me away from this. They probably live in the circus or something.
This is why I'm not sure if I want children. Because they're whatever you do, they will
want to get away from your
face. Yeah. For sure.
They're not going to appreciate shit you do. They're going to hate that you're vegan as well. They'll be like, give me chicken dippers. They'll be going around their friend's house and shoving chicken dippers in every orifice they can.
Fine. I'm not going to... I've given up. I can't argue with
already, I've given up.
I give in. Fucking hell, my kid's going to be a brat. So, he was intelligent. He was quite hardworking. But behind closed doors, he was pretty sexually deviant and quite violent. And he liked the idea of forced sex and...
So rape, then?
Yeah. Yeah, he liked rape.
He was a big rapey bastard.
Well, he was. And he was... He was doing a lot of raping on the side. So he was grabbing women. He was sort of like that, sort of, I don't want to say like typical rapist because it just sounds ridiculous.
Like, oh, rapists be rapists.
Like a lot of people who get raped by someone that they know and it's, you know, manipulative and it's abuse, whereas he was literally hiding in bushes and grabbing women, which I don't think you hear a lot about. I mean, it's always like the scary thing that could happen, but actually it's not like that in most cases. But he was literally sort of just hiding in a bush and grabbing people. Terrifying. And sort of enough women were reporting it that he was known as the Scarborough rapist, but they didn't know obviously that it was him. So women had said that he was young and he was blonde and he was quite good looking. Quite nice thing to say about someone who's just raped you. But
again, I think that's sort of against type. When you picture the scary nighttime rapist, you just think of some big, ugly, freakish old man.
That's true, yeah. So he'd committed... So 11 attacks were reported and he met Homolka after 3 attacks. So it wasn't... So he met her during sort of this spree of rapes, but he did carry this on indefinitely, really.
So it definitely wasn't just about sex. It was about that control over people, because he could have had sex if he wanted it.
Horrific, horrific man. Her family obviously had no idea. They thought he was brilliant. She thought he was brilliant. And everyone loved him. And that's what's really sort of annoying about this, that no one had any idea that he was such a prick. Like, he was such a pervert, that he was doing all these awful things, because he just seemed like a hardworking, young, sort of attractive man. So after dating for 2 years, Bernardo proposes to... Homolka at Niagara Falls, and she says yes. And then
how weird that a rapist is so into monogamy.
Yeah,
like, ugh. I don't know.
It's weird. It's weird that
it's just a weird, like, you know, how do you marry those two sides of yourself together? Like, I really want to fuck women without their consent, and also I'd like to take your hand in marriage till death do us part, and like buy into this really like standard institution.
Yeah, it's very strange, isn't it? But also, like, the fact that he met her and went, right, well, she's the one I want to marry, and all these other women are just people that I want to abuse.
Yeah, like compartmentalizing those things.
Yeah. So in 1990, police released a sketch of the Scarborough rapist. So they're still looking to find this guy. And it looks so much like Paul Bernardo. His friends phone up and say, look, I know this guy. I don't think he's done it. He's a nice guy. You know, he's hardworking, blah, blah, blah. But,
change the drawing.
But literally, this sketch is of him. So quite a few people actually phone up and report him as saying, look into this guy, because this is him. It's him. Like, it looks
just
like
him. So he
was
named immediately.
Yeah. So what they did is they brought him in for questioning and they took DNA, but there were also other people that had been called in about. So they just put the DNA on a shelf and put it sort of in the testing pile and then just carried on. You know, it takes time. It took time to process DNA things.
Wait, so he would have been a DNA match? But it took that long that they didn't come up yet.
Well, this is why people talk about the backlog and like the problem with there being all these rape kits, because it's expensive. So unless you've got a real lead on someone...
Oh, so they didn't test his DNA yet. They just held the DNA and thought, we'll test it when we have more information.
Yeah. or like will work through this, but when they're not sort of shoving them all through, it's like when you know, when we've got the money, we'll test so many a month or whatever, like the budget only covers maybe a proportion. So that's why people talk about the backlog of sort of rape testing kits.
Yeah. I didn't realise it was an issue with like all cases, because obviously we've been part of the End the Backlog campaign, like to do with like the East, like out of the East Area rapist thing that happened. Yeah. But I just assumed that was because there were so many cases in that area. I didn't realise that just generally. Like it's...
So Bernardo and Homolka moved to St. Catherine's. And they move in with Homolka's parents at their house. And the Scarborough rapist stops, obviously, because he's moved. And then there start to be assaults and rapes reported in St. Catherine's area. Right. But no one really puts two and two together. I mean, obviously her family must have noticed that.
I mean, how would you know that he'd moved? Especially when you move in with someone else. It's not like he's registering to live anywhere, is he?
But you'd think maybe she or her family would go, hang on, he's moved and these rapes have moved, but they just think he's so great they don't even consider that as
circumstantial.
So Bernardo tells Homolka that although he's happy with her, there's one thing missing and one thing that she can't give him, that he wants to have sex with a virgin and she is not a virgin.
Oh,
so they make a deal, and this is sort of the start of her not getting my respect. She agrees that he can have sex with her sister, who is a virgin.
Oh, her sister.
Yeah. So her younger sister.
That was a weird twist to whole pass that didn't get past the final edit, wasn't it?
Yeah. So so her parents are out. No, her parents are in bed. And between them, they invite Tammy, her sister, to have some drinks with them. And they give her some sort of cocktails and alcohol.
So has it, like, she's really involved in that really abuse involved. Of her sister.
Really involved. And then they drug her. And
what?
Then, yeah, and so then Homolka gets, like, do you know, like, you can get chloroform on a rag. I think it's some version of that, something that she got from working with animals.
It wasn't necessary for her to be involved in that way. She could have been like, oh, you want to have sex with a virgin? Like, fine, go ahead, like, go meet someone. Not, I'm going to drug my own sister.
Mm. Well, her argument was at court that he was instigating all of this and getting her and sort of forcing her, but she was so in love with him that she went along with a lot of things.
You don't need to be in the room.
Well, it's not... You need to be
holding the rag.
It's worse than that. So she holds the rag, he rapes her, and then she rapes her.
What?
So she...
No.
Yeah. So the Tammy gets really... I mean, this is only going to get worse. It's absolutely horrific.
That's horrendous. Well, I just need a second.
So...
Like...
And they video it.
No.
But I mean, her argument is that he put pressure on her and then he could then blackmail her with that afterwards. So it was important to him that she was involved, because then after that she could never go to the police on him because of her involvement and it's on video. But I don't buy it. It's not normal.
Raped her own sister. So, like, just out of the blue, like... Well, we'd been having a few conversations about it and we finally got to a place where we agreed, yes, he could have sex with someone else. And then I thought, well, I might as well just rape my own sister. Yeah, what the hell?
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen if you've got a loving relationship with your sibling. Like, you wouldn't even consider. You'd be protecting.
I know. I thought they were going to woo her initially. Right. You said, oh, they're going to come over, have drinks. If she likes you, like, you can flirt with her and go for it. Not like...
No, none of that.
Really aggressive.
Really aggressive. So Tammy gets really sick. So they dress her and then they call 911 and she is throwing up everywhere and she dies from
what?
This poisoning. They've obviously overdone it and given her way too much. And the police come and they say, well, you know, she was a young girl. She shouldn't have been drinking. They don't blame... either of the two. It's a tragic accident. It's down as a tragic accident. The only thing that they say is weird is that she's got a burn on her face, but it's from the rag against her face and this acid. But they kind of put it down to, oh, we don't know what it is, or maybe it's... And so she dies.
This is so horrible.
So horrible. So...
I love our insight into it as well. So horrible.
So horrible. So Homolka and Bernardo then move into a house together. So move
of
out
course.
Of the parents'
Let's
home.
Solidify this relationship now with a some sort of lease.
Yeah, and he just doesn't hold anything back anymore. He starts being really abusive to her.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So now he can blackmail her with the fact that she was involved in her sister's death. So he knows that she's not going to go to the police. And he tells her he's the Scarborough rapist. Now, he says it sort of in a jokey way, but I think she wouldn't be surprised, really.
No.
In June 1991, Bernardo brings home a girl called Leslie Mahaffey that he has abducted, and he tells Homolka that he's going to keep Leslie as a sex slave. So they hold her captive in the house, and they, again, rape her. They record it. Then they strangle her and then they put her body in concrete and they dump it in the lake.
This is so horrendous. What really stands out to me is that how even more inappropriate it is that they're called the Ken and Barbie killers. Because what that does is put the focus on these were attractive people and not on the fact that they are actually one of the most sadistic. I thought it was going to be some sort of like light-hearted Ken and Barbie. Oh yeah, they, I don't know, murdered people with silicon injections. No, they're like full-on disgusting, like some of the worst people ever. I mean, and yet they're like remembered and because they're like hot.
I think it's because like when we did Fred and Rose West a while ago, and I think when they got discovered, they looked really almost like you would expect. Like they
were creepy,
weird,
and dirty.
Creepy. Whereas when it came out that these two, who had like this beautiful dream cutesy wedding and all the wedding pictures that were used in the media, that everyone thought, oh my god, they're just like a nice looking couple and so young.
No, they should be remembered for like, they should be called something different. I'm not going for Ken and Barbie. They should be called something else. Like, I hate that.
Yeah,
like, oh, you're too beautiful to do, like, ugly people do bad things and you're beautiful so you couldn't be. No, fuck them. They're like nasty rapist, child killer, sex slave things, concrete and everything.
Yeah.
Barbie would never touch concrete.
No. So, 2 weeks later, on the couple's wedding day, where they, it looks super cheesy, they sort of hired like a horse and cart and...
Oh, like Peter Andre.
Had like a cutesy wedding near a lake. But on the same day, Leslie's body is discovered by a fisherman.
Oof.
So, Greg McCreary, who is an FBI profiler, is brought into work on the case. And he also worked on the Scarborough rapist case, which I thought was a bit of a coincidence. And I thought, there's probably only about 4 crimes ever going on in Canada at one time. So it's not that surprising.
It must be linked.
So he doesn't work out that the Scarborough rapist case and this murder are linked because he's not told about the rapes that have been reported in the area where they're living at the time, because no one really thinks, oh, that might be linked. So he talks about, On the documentary, I watched his frustration with the fact that no one really told him, because he thought, well, maybe he might have realised there was a link and then may have processed the DNA samples faster and it just all would have come to light a lot quicker. So Bernardo tells Homolka that he wants more virgins, and what they start doing is really, really abusive. They start to take advantage of Tammy's friendship group. So not only has this young girl died, they...
now they prey on her grieving childhood friends.
So they start to invite them over to stay with them. I guess, I mean, using... the obvious things would be, come over and we'll talk about Tammy.
Yeah.
And then what they do is they drug the girls, like they did with Tammy, rape them, record it, but they don't kill them because... the fact that they were drugged means that they don't remember what's happened. So like, they've got no idea that they've experienced this. And a lot of them only found out from the trial when the videos were watched.
It's Dear Evan Hansen, but gone really, really wrong.
Oh, so fucked up. So then the two abduct Christian French, who's a young girl. She was walking home from school and... very much sort of like Ian Brady, Myra Hindley, or Fred and Rose West, just taking advantage of the fact that they're a couple.
I would say it is much more like Ian and Myra than anything else, which I didn't expect.
And they just say, can you help us with directions? And then they grab her and they take her home. Witnesses report seeing the young girl talk to two people. So now the police realise that it's a couple. But they also report the wrong car. So it means that police are putting loads of effort into finding a car that actually isn't the car that they used.
Oh no.
So Kristen is assaulted and then they strangle her and they dump her body in a ditch. So January 1993, Homolka is in hospital. Now she is severely beaten by Bernardo. And it's around this time that Bernardo's DNA sample is finally tested.
He's managed to kill, like, so many more people.
Yeah. And it's found that he is the Scarborough rapist. So they've got a name. They know it's him now.
Right.
The police...
get him.
The police now realise the cases are linked because this guy lives near where these murders are happening. It doesn't take that much to sort of work out. So Homolka moves out. She's finally had enough. She's severely beaten. There's photos of her with like two black eyes, really severe. I think he beat her with like a torch or a flashlight. And she's contacted by the police and they say they want to interview her. And she thinks it's about her being beaten by Bernardo. But actually, obviously, it's about the fact that he's the Scarborough rapist and how he might be linked to these crimes. Now, she doesn't give anything away in interview. But afterwards, she does talk to her family and basically breaks down and tells them everything, but very much paints it as, I was the victim, he made me do it, I didn't get involved, I was just there helping him, he was blackmailing me.
They would, and can you imagine hearing that? Because then the family would know that she, whether that she told them of her full involvement, they would know that she knew about her sister all that time.
But they at first they stand by her. So they get her to go to the police and she does. And she agrees to testify against Bernardo if she gets a reduced sentence for what happened to her sister. But all the time painting herself as this sort of beaten wife against her own will and blames him for everything. She also tells them about the videos, which I...
you'd have to.
Well,
they'd
I guess
find
she'd
out
have
eventually.
But also... she must have known once they saw those videos, this sort of tale of her being completely passive wouldn't hold up because she's on the videos doing horrific things that she's not telling them about. So February 17th, 1993, Bernardo is arrested and then they search his house, but they don't find any videos. Now, Homolka is given a reduced sentence and she testifies against him. And she's given a sentence of manslaughter. But there's also all these sort of rules about what the press can and can't print about it. So, you know, people are hearing things that aren't necessarily true. They find the videotapes because Bernardo's lawyer had the videotapes. And there's 6 videotapes that show these horrific crimes, and obviously they're really key evidence for the trial, because otherwise it's just what Homolka's saying about Bernardo. And Bernardo's lawyer he quits, and then he gives the videotapes to the next lawyer.
You would fucking quit that case, wouldn't you? There's like 6 videotapes of you committing these things. What possible arguments are you going to make?
But he didn't hand them in. He had them for like over a month and didn't hand them in. He had them the whole time when the police were looking for them. And then he kept holding them because they would damage his case. Because it's evidence that his client is guilty. So then he quits and just hands everything over. And the next lawyer gets these videotapes and is like, well, fuck.
Because has that lawyer been prosecuted then for like obstructing the course of justice?
Yeah, he gets prosecuted. But the next lawyer doesn't give him in straight away. They take a bit of time to think about it because it's completely... they're never going to win a case with evidence like that. They're trying to prove this guy's innocent. But eventually this second lawyer does hand them in. And obviously it shows that Bernardo's guilty, but also it shows that Homolka was very much involved in these crimes, did a lot of things she didn't say that she did. But the argument was, well, she's been sentenced with manslaughter now, it's too late, it's done. So Bernardo's found guilty of all the charges, he's given a life sentence. The original lawyer was charged with the obstruction of justice, and Homolka served 12 years, and she was out in 2005, I think. But Bernardo obviously should never be let out, and he's also been linked to some other crimes, such as 22-year-old Elizabeth Bain, who her boyfriend was originally charged with her murder, but now it's thought that that it was Bernardo, given that he lived close to where she died. But there's no evidence to suggest that it is him, and he won't admit to that. But he'll never get out of prison, and he should have been in prison way before. But it's a really, it's such a horrible case. Horrid.
I need to see a picture of them right now.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what you think.
Ken and Barbie killers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Images.
I love that she's having to teach you like the very basic thing. Oh. Okay, so he definitely looks like a creep.
Yeah.
So, like, even on his wedding photos, he's like leering down the camera as if he wants to rape that camera lens. Like, I'm not 100% shocked.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.